We're going to discuss a little topic this evening, and I think maybe it's a topic that is commonly, I don't know if confused is the right word, but it's certainly misused. We're going to look at some definitions in just a minute to make sure we understand what we're talking about before we get into the sermon. And I hope when we leave this place tonight, now I'm looking out on people, some of you have been saved longer than I've been alive. And I know that there's nothing new under the sun. We understand this. The Word of God does not change. However, I do know that even though I've been saved since I was 7 years old, I've was forced to learn the Bible when I was a child. In my adult life, I've given a large part of my time to studying the Word of God. And it's always amazing to me how God can take a simple truth that you think you know so well and just expand it and really expose that truth in a new light. And so that's what I hope to do tonight. Not telling you anything new. If you're looking for something new, just go on and just take a nap for a few minutes because you're going to be disappointed. But I think anytime we open the Word of God, the potential is there for it to change us in some way. So that's what we're after this evening. All right, let's pray one more time. We'll ask the Lord's help in His Word. Father, we thank You for another chance to open Your Word and to study it. God, thank You for entrusting it to our care. And Lord, tonight, You know the needs of the heart. You know all of that. And so, God, I just pray that You take our words and my thoughts for the next few minutes. Keep me from doing or saying anything that would be outside of Your perfect will. And then, God, please grow us in some way tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The topic we're going to look at this evening is this topic of consecration. Consecration. My wife and I were talking a little bit ago, and I asked her if she had to describe, if she had to define the difference in sanctification and consecration, how would she do it? And she said what I think most Christians would say, and that is, you know, I've never really had to do that. I don't really know how to put into words the difference in sanctification and consecration. And so I'd like to just very quickly give you three, no, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Salvation is a once and done thing. There's no progressive salvation. Well, I believe you are saved by grace through faith. The moment you bow your head, the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, calling Him to save you, you're saved. But there's several things that take place in salvation. And we'll sort these things out very quickly. Then we'll get into the topic of consecration. The first thing that takes place is justification. When you're saved, you are justified. Justified is that action of being made perfect in the sight of God. That is justification. You were taken from the condition of a lost sinner, and by the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins have been forgiven. And now in the sight of God, you stand justified, made right, not in and of yourself, but only through Jesus Christ. So God the Father looks at us and He does not see us. He sees His Son. And we see this principle taught throughout the New Testament, especially in the book of Galatians. We find a lot about grace. And so we find justification as a fact of salvation. And then we come to the second point, which is sanctification. Sanctification. Sanctification, if we had to define the word sanctify, we would define it as the act of being made clean or pure. Okay, Ephesians says that we, the church, are sanctified. We're made clean by the washing of water by the Word. That is, as we grow in Christ, we're purified, we're cleansed. That's why your Bible is so important. That's why one of my favorite things, I was just telling somebody Sunday that one of my favorite things about the RU program is the emphasis on the Word of God. It is the backbone. It is the foundation of everything. And it's important that we continue to stay in the Word of God because it continues to sanctify and cleanse us. A perfect example is when you're having your quiet time. Maybe you're reading your chapter or your passage of the day. And I hope before you just read your Bible, I hope you just take a couple of minutes at least and ask the Lord to speak to you through His Word. I don't think it's wrong to ask the Lord for wisdom. Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom and God blessed him. He honored that prayer greatly. But as you begin to read and you allow the Holy Spirit of God to kind of pinpoint certain things in Scripture, what's happening is it's refining you. It's purifying you. The Word of God is good for that. And then we come to this thing of consecration. That's what I'd like to look at tonight. Consecration and sanctification are different because sanctification is a process of being made pure. And we'll see that in Exodus 19 in just a minute. Consecration is the action of declaring something or someone set apart for a particular use. There's a difference there. Here, let's see it together. Chapter 19 of Exodus, look at verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Let them wash their clothes. So you see, part of this sanctification, this is talking about the physical sanctification. It was, you're going to be in the presence of God, get cleaned up. Tell them to bathe, wash their clothes. They are to look clean in the sight of God. Look on down, look at verse 21. The Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord, and to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near unto the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. So here at the very beginning of God's relationship with the nation of Israel as a nation, at the very beginning, God says, in my presence, you must be sanctified. They were told to set up bounds around the base of the mountain where Moses was going to go up and get the law from God. But God said to Moses, you set up the bounds. Earlier, he says, sanctify the mountain. The where we're going to be, you make sure that it is different, that it is clean, and that it is pure. The people, the priest, it all had to be sanctified. So we understand that sanctification, it means to be cleaned up and to be made pure. But let's look at this topic of consecration. Look at chapter 29. Of Exodus, chapter 29. Consecration means to be designated for a specific purpose. To be designated for a specific purpose. Now, these two topics, these two words, sanctification and consecration, they seemingly overlap one another, because something that is going to be consecrated for the use of God must also be sanctified, must also be pure. Do we understand? But everything that has ever been consecrated for anything has not necessarily been sanctified. Right? I'll give you an example. We used to raise meat rabbits, and we have all these rabbits in this little rabbit hutch, and I went to the hardware store and I bought these big black rubber tubs, and I cut them down to put underneath the rabbit cage to catch all the waste. It was easier to clean out the hutch that way. And when I went and bought those things, they were clean, right? They were clean. But once I got them home, I designated them for a certain purpose, and they were no longer clean. They were consecrated, though. They were set aside. Everyone knew those are the rabbit tubs. You don't want to do anything with those. They were never used for anything else because they were consecrated for that purpose. Are you with me? Yeah. Let's look at a few things that were consecrated in the Old Testament. We find in chapter 29, verse 35, we find that these priests had to be consecrated. They were to serve only one purpose, and that was to be the priest of God. Look what it says in chapter 29, let's start reading verse 35. And thus shalt thou do unto Aaron and to his sons, according to all things which I have commanded thee. 7 days shalt thou consecrate them. God said, they are my priest. They must also be sanctified, but now they're consecrated. They serve no other purpose. They're not to be farmers. They're not to be carpenters. They're not to be servants of anybody but me. They're my priest. Consecrated. Right? Now let's go a little bit further. Look at, just back up a few verses to verse 29. Verse 29 says, and the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed therein and to be consecrated in them. We find not only were the priests themselves supposed to be consecrated, but there were certain garments that the priests were to wear that they were only to wear when they were serving God. They were consecrated for that purpose, nothing else. They weren't their everyday clothes. They weren't their pajamas. They were just the priest clothes when they were serving God, consecrated for that purpose. We find that the nation of Israel was consecrated. Look what it says in chapter 32. Chapter 32, look at verse 20. Let's begin in 29. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Moses looked at the entire nation of Israel, and the admonition was, consecrate yourselves. Not your garments, not your belongings, yourselves as a people, designate yourselves for the only purpose of serving God. That's it. There's no other reason for you to exist this day moving forward. Consecrate yourselves. I think you understand. We could go all the way through. We could look at the construction of the tabernacle, all those utensils, the bowls, the pans, the candlestick, the table of showbread, the altar of incense. All of those things were consecrated. They were consecrated, designated as worship utensils in the worship of God, which is why part of the problem when the Babylonians took all that stuff to their land, they began to use it for other things. That's one of the reasons God punished them. They took the consecrated thing and used it for something it was not consecrated for. If you understand all of that, say amen.
Amen.
Now, we've looked at the Old Testament, and we've seen the difference in sanctification and consecration. Sanctification is to be made clean. Consecration means to be designated for a certain use. As is almost always the case, every part of our Old Testament, especially these first five books, when we cover the law, the priesthood, all these things, every detail finds a sister portion in our New Testament. It's not that the Old Testament is done, therefore the principles are no longer in place. The principles are certainly there. And I believe that as Christians, consecration ought to play an even bigger role in our lives today than it did in the Old Testament. I believe that. Let's see three areas this evening, three areas that our lives ought to be consecrated. Let's look at it together. We won't be long. My thoughts are always very simple, and it won't be hard to grasp. First of all, I think we ought to be consecrated. We ought to declare ourselves to be God's. We ought to do it in the sight of the church. We ought to do it in the sight of the church. And that sounds a little bit odd, but it's not. Every one of you that's been saved and baptized has done this. Have you not?
Sure.
Baptism doesn't save you. So what's the point of baptism? We call it making a public profession of faith. It's the first step in every believer's life. It is you stepping up and saying, I have been saved, justified. There's justification. I believe that God has saved me from my sins. I believe His word to be so. It's purifying and sanctifying and regenerating. There's sanctification. And because I believe those two things, I'm professing to everyone today as I go into the baptismal waters, I belong to God. That's consecration. That's consecration. Now, here's a mistake we make in our Baptist churches. We are so afraid of mixing works with grace that many times we make far too little of baptism.
Right.
You understand? If baptism is a form of Christian consecration, then shouldn't we make much of it? I remember baptizing he was almost 90 years old. His name was Buck Reisner. And he got saved very late in life. Any of you remember Buck? Anybody here? It was a long time ago. Melody does. I got to baptize him. I think it was before I was even pastor. Pastor Story couldn't get in the water anymore. And so on a Sunday morning, I baptized him. And he was so excited to be baptized. We had a hard time getting him into the baptismal pool and hard time getting him out. But I remember as I began to baptize him, I began to lay him back, and his knees were real weak. And I just told him, just bend your knees. I think Mr. Lennon was in the water with me. I said, we'll get you back up. Don't worry about that. I put him under the water. And when I brought him up, he came up with his fist in the air. It was like he was so excited to be baptized. Now here's what he told me later. He said, I wanted all of my family to be here so they knew what took place. Amen. What he was saying is, I've lived my whole adult life lost and in sin, but I wanted everybody to know that now things are different.
Right.
What he was saying is, I consecrate myself to the Lord. That's the first step of obedience, isn't it, after salvation? It's to, in the sight of all the church, consecrate yourself. It's a biblical concept. Secondly, I believe you ought to be consecrated. You ought to declare Your designation to the Lord, you ought to declare it in the sight of the world through your conversation. Let me say it again. You ought to declare it to the world through your conversation.
Amen.
Now listen, if you're familiar with the Bible, I've gone through this from the pulpit many times. I won't spend a lot of time on it. The word conversation doesn't mean to converse like we're conversing. It simply means to convey a message. And you can do that with words. You can do that without words. In the Bible, the word conversation means what we today would call lifestyle or reputation. You can think of it that way, testimony. And so when the Bible uses the word conversation, it's referring to the manner in which someone lives. In Philippians chapter 1, I believe it's verse 27, it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. And goes on to talk about the way they live, the conversation. As Christians, our lives will preach louder than any words you'll say to a lost person. It preaches louder and has more effect the vast majority of the time than anything you might say to someone on the street. Now, I am not saying keep your mouth shut and don't try to witness. I'm simply saying your conversation, your lifestyle can either complement or cancel out your witness. It's so important. You see, you stand in front of the church and get baptized, and in doing so, you've consecrated yourself unto the Lord. You say, I am no longer my own. I'm dead to my sin, risen to walk in newness of life. Moving forward, you go out into the world, and the places you used to go, you don't go there. The things we used to listen to, we don't listen to those things anymore. The way we used to talk, no, we don't do that anymore. The people around you will notice those things. They'll be looking at you and what you're telling them by your behavior, your conversation. What you're telling them is, I've consecrated myself to the Lord. It's no longer about me. It's no longer about me being happy, me fulfilling my own lust, my own desires. Now, it's about Him. That's consecration. It's consecration. And then if I could just maybe meddle a little bit. So many times as Christians, it's easy for us to step forward and say, you know what, from this day on, I'm going to consecrate myself. I'm all in for the Lord. But it's also very easy, especially in America, to still say I'm a Christian, but give ourselves to other things. That's a contradiction. It doesn't make sense to say I'm consecrated, but then give yourself over to something else. That doesn't make any sense, spiritually speaking. We declare it to the church through baptism. We declare it to the world through our conversation. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, we read, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Be an example of the believers in those things. An example of the believers. Hey, if that's what we're supposed to be doing, what kind of example are you? What kind of example to the lost world are you? An example of what? If we're saved, if we're truly consecrated, then we ought to be able to declare our consecration through our lifestyle, through our actions, through our behavior. I promise you, your family's watching you. Your co-workers are watching you. Your children and grandchildren, they're watching you. And you can say you are something, but that'll never have as much force as what you do. Never have as much force as what you do. And then thirdly, it kind of goes hand in hand with declaring it to the world. We've already said we must declare it to the church. We declare our consecration to the world. I believe that we should declare it to our Savior. Declare it to our Savior. How do we do that? How do we prove to our Savior that we truly are consecrated? He's not interested in only what you say. He's not interested in only what you give in the offering plate. How do we prove to our Savior that we truly are consecrated to Him? Find a couple places in your Bible very, very quickly. Find 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Some of you will be very familiar with this passage of Scripture, but I believe it speaks of consecration. I believe we declare it to the Lord by complete dedication to Him. Complete dedication to Him. One of the saddest phrases, we'll get to 1 Corinthians in just a second, but one of the saddest phrases in the New Testament, I believe it's in John chapter 6 and verse 66, I believe it is. Jesus is preaching. Let me just go there. I don't want to give you the wrong reference. Let me just read it to you real quick. Jesus has been preaching. His disciples have been asking him some questions. He gets done delivering this speech to all the people's speech. It was a sermon. It says, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come to me except it were given to him by the Father. Verse 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They were not consecrated to him. All it took was a hard sermon to get them to turn around and walk away and say, no, I did not sign up for this. So I'm just saying, how do we declare this to our Savior? How do we show our consecration to Him? We do it through complete and absolute dedication. Unending dedication. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkard, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, and ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Look on down to verse 20. It says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He says, you used to be one thing, but now you're saved. Remember the justification and the sanctification? He says, now you're justified, now you're sanctified. And so from now on, be something different. Moving forward, you used to be adulterers, you used to be fornicators, you used to be drunkards. That was before you were justified. That's before you were sanctified. Now that you are justified and that you are sanctified, it's time to be consecrated. It's time to be all in for God. You know why? Because you're bought with a price. Amen. You're not your own. You're not your own. People say, I don't want to go to church because there's too many hypocrites there. We have got such a messed up view of this thing. Yeah, that's right. Someone said to me recently, it's been a few months back, I don't want to go to church and pretend to be something I'm not. What they were saying is, I'd rather go out in the world and pretend to be something I'm not. I'd rather, as a Christian, go out in the world and pretend like I'm a lost man, live like a lost man, rather than come to church and live like what I really am. It's all about your point of view. It's all about perspective. An individual that's been justified and sanctified ought to so desire to be completely consecrated to the Lord. Our thoughts ought to be only His. Our words should be only His. Our actions should only be His. I love that hymn we sing sometimes, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. It's a big thought, isn't it? It's consecration. It's consecration. I said earlier, and I'll say it again right now, just before we close, salvation is not a process. I believe that we are saved once and for all. I do believe that consecration is a process. You can never reach a point where you say, phew, sure I'm glad consecration's done with. Wouldn't that be nice? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Every day we get up, we must declare to the world through our conversation, I'm consecrated. Every day we must declare to our Savior, I'm consecrated to you, only to you. And I'll prove that by my words. I'll prove that by my actions. I'll prove that by the way I love the brethren. I'll prove that by obedience to your word. I'll prove that. It's a tall order, but it's so needed. It's so needed. Every single person that's here tonight, you know, this Reformers Unanimous, the very fact that we have a ministry like RU is proof, it's evidence that Christians still struggle. Still struggle. I'm convinced that one of the greatest ways you can minister to and help your brothers or sisters in Christ is to be completely consecrated yourself. Lead by example. Let them see you. Let them see you be faithful. Paul said that God put him into the ministry because he counted him faithful. There's a lot to be said for faithfulness. I hope you're consecrated today. I hope in a year you look back and you're still consecrated completely to the Lord. Pastor Story, the pastor that started the church, he's 94 years old. No one's perfect. He's made lots of errors, as we all have. So many times I listen to him and other preachers, older preachers, look back and say, boy, I wish I had done this different, or I wish I had done that different. And I'm sure we'll all have regrets, but it ought to be our goal to one day be 94 years old. To be able to look back and say, I stuck it out. I just pushed through. I gave everything to my Savior, and I never took it back. Wouldn't that be something? You can't go back and change your past, but you can sure change the way you move forward. You can sure change that. Consecration. I'm glad I'm justified. That standing in the sight of God will never be changed. I'll always be justified in His sight. Thanks to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, I can be sanctified. The Holy Spirit will convict me and clean me up when I think I've made a mistake and I think there's no way I can be helped. Boy, God is faithful and He is just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the least I can do is be consecrated only to Him.